One year while we were in seminary in Fort Worth, we went to the State Fair of Texas. What a fair. Everything's bigger in Texas. I don't know if you realize that, but everything's bigger in Texas. At some point during the day, I took the boys into one of the animal barns to see the beverage company's team of Clydesdale horses. Now, if you have never been close to a Clydesdale horse, they are massive. 16 to 18 hands high, which is basically the height up to the top of my head. Now, all the horses that I had been around, and I'd been around a good number, were in the 15-hand range, now probably chin level. So you're talking another whatever, about 2,000 pounds. They were huge. They were massive. Well, when we got there, men were harnessing the team up for a demonstration. Three of the horses were already harnessed. And as they sought to get the fourth one in place, he didn't want to cooperate. He began rearing up, bucking. I thought, oh boy, somebody's going to get hurt. My kids were little, and so I began to get them as close as I could, and I began backing up just as fast as I could because I was afraid that horse was about to get out of control. Have you ever seen anyone live their lives out of control? How much damage have they done to themselves and others? This morning, we're going to look at a passage where Jesus deals with people out of control or about to become out of control. How then does one stay under control? Jesus had been preaching in the cities where many of his miracles were performed. Their response to his preaching showed they were out of control. And he points to people's greatest need, which is to be in relationship with him. Stay under control. Turn with me to Matthew 11. Remember, I told you a couple weeks ago I was going to preach this passage soon. Today's the day. Matthew chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 20. Then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades, for if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Stay under control, Jesus says, by first turning away from sin. Jesus has the answers you are seeking. Jesus had been preaching and teaching in the cities of Israel. In verse 20, he began to speak about the cities in which most of his miracles had been done, the cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. They had seen what Jesus had done. They had seen the miracles, but they chose not to repent. They chose not to repent. Chorazin and Bethsaida are compared to Tyre and Sidon. Capernaum to Sodom. Now, you know what happened to Sodom. It was destroyed. Destroyed. Had these ignorant Gentiles living in Tyre, Sidon, or Sodom seen the evidence of who Jesus is the way that these three Jewish cities had? They would have repented. If they had seen it, they would have repented. They would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. Now, sackcloth and ashes was kind of the way you could tell somebody was grieving. If someone close to you died, you would change into the sackcloth and you would take ashes and put them on top of your head. That was like the public symbol of grief. And Jesus said, if you would have done that, if you would have been grieved about your sin, if you would have been grieved about the distance between you and me, if you would have grieved over that, you would have life. But they chose not to repent. These three cities were close. In fact, if you look back in earlier in the gospel, Capernaum is where Jesus had lived for a while. They knew who he was. They knew what he had done, but they chose not to repent. They chose not to turn away from their sin. Do you remember how his message was summarized when Jesus began preaching in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, at the beginning of his ministry? He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent, turn away from your sin. Turn from the thinking that you have the answers and that you know the best way to live life. That's what it means to repent. Today, let me ask you, what sin might you need to turn away from? But we're also to live a lifestyle of repentance. There's that need that all of us have to come to that place in life. I was 8 years old when I realized I didn't have the answers. And you know what? My assumption or my thinking that day was right, and it's every day since then has proven that. That I don't have the answers. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what's best for me, but I do know the one who does. And that's where the lifestyle of repentance. Even if you walked to church this morning, how many times did you correct your course? That's what living a lifestyle of repentance means. Just like when you drive the car, you say, well, I'm headed to church. Well, that's repenting in one way. But to be able to say, I'm going to need to steer, and I'm going to need to go this way, and I'm not going to need to go that way, that's living the lifestyle of repentance. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7? My paraphrase of that passage is this. I felt bad because I made you feel bad, but now I don't feel bad for making you feel bad because your feeling bad led to repentance. Now, we've all said something to someone that made them feel bad, and we felt bad. And Paul said, you know, for a time I did. But I realize now that your feeling bad led to repentance. Godly sorrow that leads to repentance. Too often we feel bad about getting caught at something, not for having done the sin. When our kids were little and one of them did something to another, we would make them apologize. Sorry. You've heard that, right? Did you think they felt bad for what they did? But I've also seen a person get down on hands and knees with tears in the eyes and ask for forgiveness. Do I think that person meant it? Yes. And the repentance became evident. You choose how you respond to the Holy Spirit working in your life. Remember, he's not worried about your happiness. He's worried about your holiness. Turn away from your sin. Stay under control. Stay under control with a childlike faith. Jesus had the answers, has the answers you were seeking. Do do not be too smart by half. Don't think you know everything there is to know about living life, that you don't need Jesus, that you don't need to hear what he has to say, that you don't need to learn from him. That's what I mean by being too smart by half. When you say, I know everything. As Jesus prays in verse 25, he refers here to the scribes who searched for God on their terms. Man cannot discover God through intellect, reason, or observation. So these missed the opportunities, the importance of repentance and the opportunity. God makes himself known to those who are willing to trust him as a child trusts a parent. Discipleship to Jesus remains the only alternative that satisfies the deepest of human longings. D.A. Carson said, the contrast is between those who are self-sufficient and deem themselves wise and those who are dependent and love to be taught. Are you one who thinks himself wise, or do you love to learn and be taught by Jesus? Jesus said, if you want to know the Father, God the Father, you have to know me as your Lord. You have to let me take control of your life. So repentance is as much admitting to yourself and Jesus that you don't know the way, the truth, or how to live life. Do you have a childlike faith in Christ? Have you ever watched a father play with his kids by throwing them up in the air and catching them? Now, the nephew's a big boy. At 6'4", he has thinned down to about 230, 240. But Thomas Austin can throw little Adam up in the air, and it's like, Adam, you might need to take on oxygen, you're so high. But you know what? Adam doesn't care because he knows Dad's going to catch him. Several years ago, we were out in Oklahoma, and my nephew showed up with his family. And the way I remember the second daughter's name is her name is Kylie, and I call her Smiley Kylie because that child is always doing something. Well, Kylie at that point was about 4 years old, and being who I am and not always appropriate with what I do or say, I grabbed her up and I turned her upside down. Well, she started crying because she didn't know me. Well, it wasn't very long that she knew that she could trust me, and so she came back to get turned upside down again. That's childlike faith. Do you have childlike faith in Jesus? Looking at various survey results of people being asked if there's more than one way to eternal life, way too many who identify themselves as evangelicals say that there is more than one way. The Bible disagrees. Jesus disagrees. Jesus said in verse 27 that no one knows the Father but those to whom the Son reveals him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, a truth, a life, but the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Yes, various languages are valid ways to communicate, but childlike faith in Jesus Christ is the only valid way to eternal life. It's the only way to eternal life. Knowing the Father or having your sins forgiven. Do you know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life? Childlike faith may be hard for we adults, but it's the only way to stay under control. Stay under control by letting Jesus meet your deepest needs and longings. Jesus has the answers you are seeking. Jesus said he will give rest to the weary, the heavy laden. There's a physical weariness in there, then there's also a spiritual weariness. Physical weariness can be alleviated by a good meal or a night's sleep. But only Jesus offers the kind of spiritual rest we all desperately need. A person's deepest longing is not want, as in, I want this thing. It is not craving, as in, I crave this food. Or missing someone, as in, I long to see my friend. Longing is what your soul aches for. The emptiness in your life caused by a lack of security and a lack of purpose. And Jesus meets those. Jesus gives security. He gives security. Jesus also gives purpose. And his invitation is to be joined to him, yoked to him. And I think that flies in the face of what makes sense to us. I want to be yoked to someone. I want to be yoked. Yes, if you want rest. If you want rest. And so using the common image of oxen joined together, to be yoked means to join together, to come into that personal relationship with Christ. We are to surrender to him. Have you? Jesus has a plan for your life, a purpose for your heart, a purpose for your life that's better than any that you could devise yourself. Where did you think you would be when you were 15, 18, 20 years old? What did you think you would be doing? Probably not where you are or what you're doing. But Jesus has that plan. He has that purpose for your life. We are to learn from him because he is truth. His word is truth. And his yoke is easy. His burden is light. I'm going to tell on my wife because for the last 2 months at least, every time I go to put ice in my cup, I am faced with a container of Rocky Road ice cream. I like ice cream. I really like Rocky Road ice cream. I really like that stuff. But eating it is not good for me. Too much fat, too much this fat and that fat, too much. Nor does it meet my deepest needs, nor does it help in meet my deepest longings. As one author said, the mind is to the emotions what food is to the body. For that reason, what the mind feeds upon becomes the most influential force in your life. What is your mind feeding on? Are you learning from Jesus? I wish I could remember what psalm it was. I just remember when I was reading it, and I guess I was reading like a devotional about it or something, and it talked about, and so in my mind, the way I phrased it was transfer ownership. Have you got problems? Are there things going on in your life that you don't understand, or situations in your family that you don't understand? Transfer the ownership. That 92 Ford van that we drove till about died, I don't know where that thing is today. But it's not my problem. It's the new owner's. And that's the way we're to look at it. We're to transfer ownership. We're to trust him with our lives. What does rest for your soul look like in your life? Are you worried about your health? Are you worried about the money running out? Are you worried about your kids growing up to be this, that, or the other? Are you worried about a kid who's in a problem right now? Transfer the ownership. Let him take over. Then experience the rest that Jesus offers. Are you experiencing freedom from guilt and the power of sin and the self-striving? That's what being tired, being weary, he's talking about. When we try so hard to do whatever, to take care of it, all we do is wear ourselves out and we don't get anywhere. Jesus said, come to me. All who are tired, weary, and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I don't know what's going on in your life, but if you're drawing breath today, I would be pretty safe to say that there's something in your life that you need rest from. Because if you're trying to figure everything out, how to do it and how to work everything, you're not going to get there. How weary are you this morning? Is life out of control? Every day, turn away from sin. Every day. Live with a childlike faith. And trust that He will meet your deepest needs and longings. Because Jesus will give you rest.